We continue our series, our short series in Hebrews 11, the Heroes of Faith chapter that the Lord has placed in His holy book. And today we're going to be speaking of Cain and Abel, the first hero of faith, Abel, of course, in this chapter. Now, one of the themes of the Old Testament book of Judges is expressed in Judges 17:6. For this thought is expressed in several places in Judges because it was true of the age in which the judges lived. For in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this is, of course, nothing new. For as we have learned last week, this way of life began centuries past in the very beginning when Cain tilled the soil and Abel shepherded sheep. For it was in those days that the way of Cain was established. For Cain thought in himself, when a sacrifice was required and brought to God, that which he established as right. You know, we are not the ones to establish that which is right. God is the one who establishes that which is right. And therefore is the only one who can say that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain, than that which Cain brought to God. God is the establisher of right. My, how that is not so, not believed in this age we live in. So the Apostle Paul could record in Hebrews 11:4, by faith. Now notice what moved Abel to provide that more excellent sacrifice. He did it by faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How did God judge him to be righteous? He judged him to be righteous by faith. For Abel believed God. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. We'll talk about that later, but Abel speaks to us today. Abel cries out against this culture in which we live that that which is right is established by God, not established by the Supreme Court, not established by some popular opinion, not established by taking polls. But right is established by God. Now, Cain and Abel were children born in sin. Anybody here not born in sin? I think that's the masses. All of us have been born in sin because we're children of Adam. But they were children born in sin, and we learn quickly that children born in sin are apt to say early that there are ways that seem right to them, regardless of what those in authority tell them. Every baby, now there's no exclusion here. Every baby begins life with the way of Cain. I can testify to that. We've had four. They're no longer babies. But when they were babies, we'd say, another Cain? And then she'd bring forth another one, another Cain, and another Cain. And that's broadcast throughout the world, that Cains come into this world with the way of Cain. Now, Cain was such a man who thought it best to think for himself, regardless of what he was told concerning sacrifice, which was a very important act to the God who created him. This was not a casual thought upon God's part. For God knew that in several thousand years the perfect sacrifice would come forth, and everything that he said pointed to that sacrifice. Now, there is nothing wrong in thinking, but there are things where thinking is not required, for God has established what is right and what is wrong. I think about the Hebrew children facing the furnace. They weren't careful to think about what to do. This was not a time for thinking. This was a time for obedience. So nothing wrong in thinking, but today the Supreme Court is thinking about issues regarding marriage, which is another government waste of time, for God has long ago closed the book on that subject, and thinking is not required. Stop thinking. Stop overthinking. The subject is closed. God speaks to the world. Oh no, we have to think about it. You're wasting time. But we're indeed again in the age of the judges, where each man is doing what is right in his own eyes, for the world is filled with Cains. The world's filled. You have neighbors. They should have on their mailbox, Mr. and Mrs. Cain. Then down the street, their relatives, Mr. and Mrs. Cain. Nowadays, it could be Mr. and Mr. Cain. But Cain knew full well what the offering should be, but in spite of God's clear instruction, can't you read? I don't believe it. I don't believe the Bible, they say. I don't believe the truths that you say are true. I want to think for myself. Well, go think for yourself and go to hell. That's what you do when you think for yourself outside of the Word of God. You end up in hell. But Cain knew full well what the offering should be, but in spite of God's clear instruction, Cain chose to show off. This is the age of show off. You know, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to go. I was born in a time when showing off, you wouldn't show off. Mama would say, stop showing off. Didn't you hear that? Didn't you hear that when you were children, if you were old enough to know better? Stop showing off. But he wanted to show off the fruit of his hands. He succumbed to the idea of pleasing God by his own works, which was an idea of his own making. Where'd that come from? It came from a sinner's heart. Came from a sinner's heart. Now, I suppose there was competition between the brothers. And it's easy to imagine how hard it was for Cain, obviously a man of pride. And it was hard for Cain to have to go to Abel's door and say, Abel, I need a sacrifice. I till the soil. You raise sheep. I need a sacrifice. It was hard. It was hard for him. He couldn't overcome that. So Cain decided to think and reason instead of obeying God. And in that reasoning, he neglected faith. For faith is always an obedient response to God's word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you need faith? Hear the word of God. Get in the Bible. Read and study the Bible, and God will give you faith. But he thought and he reasoned instead of obeying God. Now, God has given man the ability to reason, but reason extends only so far. God expects you to reason. God expects you to use your head. God expects you not to be stupid. But he also expects you to have faith. And reason only goes so far. True faith, Christian faith, never is founded on man-made ideas, conjectures, assumptions, or theories. Faith always is founded on the revealed Word of God. That's where faith comes. What did it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some people say, well, I just can't figure it out. Well, get in the Word. Well, I don't want to. Well, okay, you're hopeless. You're absolutely hopeless when you don't get in the Word of God. So be without faith. Go your way. So therefore, Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, not because he knew how to raise sheep well. That wasn't why God didn't say, oh, look at that beautiful sheep. Abel, I'm going to pat you on the head. You know how to raise sheep well. No, it was because he obeyed God's word. Now, Cain reasoned, as many do, that God will be just as happy to see what my creativity and my talents bring to the altar. How can you figure that out? How can you come to that conclusion? You say, well, yes, I believe in God. I believe I'm a created being, and therefore I'm going to bring to God my talents, and they ought to please him. Now, wait a minute. Who's in charge here? Who gives you the right to decide what pleases God? You know, the mind is so backwards. The heart of sin distorts the mind and makes the mind think poorly. But Cain reasoned that God will be pleased. But you know, this Bible, and when I get into this Bible, I find, you know, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Wow, that's quite a statement, isn't it? I mean, talk about a principle. That blows my mind. That throws away all my ideas that reason came up with. That throws away works. That throws away everything. That throws away a good personality and intelligence. That throws away all those things, because without faith it is impossible to please God. A simple little statement like that opens up my mind to what God really is pleased by. Now think hard about a man plowing his fields. You know, a farmer takes great pride in plowing a field. Now, if you're driving down a country road and you look over and see a plowed field and it's all wavy like this, you say, well, that farmer doesn't know what he's doing. And you laugh. But when you see a straight plowed field, oh, you get so impressed. That farmer knows what he's doing. And you praise the farmer. But here in Scripture, this is what God says about that man who is without faith. For God calls him wicked in Proverbs 21:4, which tells us, and high look. Now, a high look, that's a proud look. That's a proud look. I'm so proud of myself. God must love me. How wonderful I am. And a proud heart. And then he says, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Why? It's not done in faith. God's measure of a man is not in his plowing, which means it's not in his works. Works come after faith. But God's measure of a man is in his faith. Abel's faith pleased God. Cain's faith, or lack of faith, disobedience, displeased God. You know, God does not complicate things, but instead makes it simple. How simple this principle is about faith. It's not complex. Believe his word, which means be a doer of his word, for that displays our faith. When God says something, that settles it with no questions asked. It is a time for obeying, not a time for thinking. Abel and Cain's parents certainly communicated to them God's mind about sacrifice. Remember back in the early parts of the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves? Now, when they were created in innocence, before sin entered the picture, they were naked. But they didn't know they were naked because nobody had ever wore clothes. Nothing relating. They couldn't relate to anything like that. But then when they sinned, they looked at each other and said, "You're naked." And they covered themselves with fig leaves. But you know, God looked at them and he didn't accept this. And he provided an acceptable covering made of animal skin, which of course required the death and shed blood of the animal. So here's a principle with God. You can't cover your sins with your man-made thoughts and ideas. They have to be covered by blood. So in this one act, God established that in order to be approved of God, to stand before the holy God, a proper covering was needed, and it could not be made by human hands. Boy, there's so many principles that are given in Genesis about the proper sacrifice. You think God was casual about this and he just thought of this? No, he was headed towards Christ. So it must be provided apart from their efforts, and therefore it had to be a God-provided covering. And lastly, the only acceptable covering of their sin required the death or shedding of blood of an approved substitute. That's the principles that were given in Genesis. Now, it cannot be imagined, I don't think, that Adam did not communicate this to his sons. For we know that Abel did bring indeed to God a more excellent offering, and Cain did not, and therefore was rebuked for it. Now, Cain would not have been rebuked if he had not known of God's requirements. But he reasoned instead of believing God's word. But you know, even the very act of sacrifice had to be made known to them from outside of them, for who but God would even think of the need for sacrifice? Now, Hebrews 11:4 tells us that Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. God compared the two boys. He compared the two sacrifices that they brought. Now, we are told to not compare ourselves among ourselves, but that does not apply to God. For here he compares Abel's sacrifice to that of Cain's sacrifice, not for the quality of what they brought, but by how close it was to God's specifications for the sacrifice. In other words, did it obey God? Cain brought that which was right and pleasing in his own eyes, but Abel brought that which was right in God's eyes. How do you know what's right in God's eyes? You look in his word. You find out what he says. You obey his word, and you walk in that kind of obedience. But Abel, by believing God's word, pleased God, for the sacrifice he brought fulfilled God's picture of his ultimate God-provided sacrifice in his Son, whom we know as our Lord Jesus Christ. So Abel provided that which pointed to Christ. So by this absolute as to an appropriate sacrifice, God insists that this picture of his coming sacrifice never be distorted. You know, religions around the world see Jesus. Oh, he was a wonderful prophet. He was so wise. But they don't believe in the blood. They distort the picture. They distort the sacrifice. However, Satan, since the beginning, always has his Cain representatives in line to distort God's approved sacrifice and bring to the altar man-made offerings which are only designed to elevate men. What was Cain's sacrifice designed to elevate? Cain. But by Abel obeying God, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. Now we find this truth in Romans 4, 3 through 5. For what saith the scripture? Wow, you know, that little sentence. Talking over with people over the fence and at work. Your relatives, your loved ones. That should come up. For what saith the scripture? You know, we can spout off all kinds of ideas all the time. We can talk around the clock. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, you read about Abraham. We've been going through the book of Genesis together, my wife and I. The Middle Eastern men have fathers who were deceitful. I mean, they're deceitful today. I mean, you look at some of those Middle Eastern men, full of deceit, full of manipulation. And you find the seeds of that back in the days of Abraham, including Abraham. But Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. How do you become righteous? By faith. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now the inference, of course, is also that Cain obtained witness that he was not righteous, for he believed not God. So you obtain righteousness only by believing God, not by earning it through your works. So in this lesson, we learn that sinners can only approach God by faith in God's approved sacrifice. In this story of Cain and Abel, it is easy to think that Abel was the better boy of the two. But there is nothing given by God for us to draw that conclusion, for both boys were sinners and sons of sinners. We do know that Abel responded to God's word, but Cain did not. There's the difference. One had faith, the other didn't. Abel brought a sheep from his flock because he knew he was a sinner, deserving God's judgment. However, he also knew that God, by instituting a sacrifice, would accept the death of a substitute. Abel believed that he could not be right before God in his own stead. And therefore, he brought a substitute, knowing that God would also bring a substitute to die in his place. This was what God was teaching. God had told Abel's parents that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But he also told them there would be victory over the serpent that had beguiled them, for their seed would bruise his head. That was clearly taught to Adam and Eve. But you know, the way of Cain is a way of reason apart from the word of God. The way of Cain never says, for what saith the scriptures? The way of Cain laughs at the scriptures. The way of Cain says the scriptures are irrelevant. They're old-fashioned. They don't apply to our culture. But Cain ignored what he thought of as drivel, such foolishness, and thought of a way to satisfy God by the works of his hands. Abel knew it was just that he die for his sins and knew that only God could provide a remedy, but Cain desired to know such a thing. Cain rejected the shedding of blood as a way to approach God, and therefore he established the way of Cain that the multitudes of the world still follow. You know, as I said, it's simple. Religion complicates everything, but there's only two ways. There's a way of faith and the way of Cain. And the multitudes have chosen the way of Cain. He was of the crowd that said, "My way is just as good." You know, he was the father of that famous singer of the past who did it his way when he sang, "For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he is not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels." You see how Antichrist just in that passage? Oh, he doesn't say the words of one who kneels, the one who praises God, the one who thanks God, the one who recognizes God, the one who claims the way of God as his way and not the way of Cain. "The record shows I took the blows and did it my way." Well, where is he today? Well, you go your way, and you know where that way leads. It leads to the way of Satan. So Cain, with the mind of my way, could say, "This beautiful basket of fruit is so much more appealing than that horrible dead and bloody animal." You know, you look at that beautiful basket of fruit. I'm sure it was, oh, so beautiful and so tasty and so appealing. And then you look at this, that poor sheep whose blood runs on the altar. Oh, to the way of Cain, that's so much more appealing than the way of God. And this way of Cain persists. For Paul told of it in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Now, them that perish are those that walk the way of Cain. Oh, they say, "Oh, that's foolish, that's old-fashioned, that's ridiculous." But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And in verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." So what is the difference in Cain and Abel? Abel was a man of faith, but Cain was a man of religion. Both, of course, believed in God. They believed there was a God. For both brought a sacrifice in order to worship God, one according to God's specifications, but the other according to his own ideas. It is revealing to the nature of the natural man that Cain thought his sacrifice should have been accepted, even though it was not in the making of what God had required. What did that boil down to? He didn't believe his word. He believed that God was wishy-washy, and God would certainly accept his sacrifice, and that his word didn't mean anything. And when his sacrifice was rejected, Cain became angry and he became depressed. His countenance fell. How could this be? Well, that's what thinking and reasoning will get you instead of obedience. But not accepting God's corrective rebuke and not being able to take out his anger against God, he took it out on his brother. Why did he kill his brother? Jealousy. His brother was accepted, but he was rejected. He took it out on his brother Abel, who had obeyed God by faith and was commended by God for bringing the more excellent sacrifice. But this is the way of all false religion. We are seeing this today on a massive scale in the Middle East, where the false religion of Islam founded in the heart of Cain. That's where that religion came from, the heart of Cain. That false religion turns against the one true God by violence against God's Abels. We see that taking place throughout the world. For false religions reject the sacrifice of God. They reject the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. False religions reject the cross, for the cross rejects self-righteousness as a way to God. False religions bring to God their own sacrifice of good works and reject the idea that they of false religions are sinners, undone, and unable to do anything with themselves that would please the one true God. False religions, the way of Cain. But you know, they could never sing, "What can wash away my sin?" That song would be anathema to them. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good. Rejection of the way of Cain. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For false religionists like the Judaizers, we're not satisfied with only the blood of Christ, but again, following the principles of their father Cain, they preached conversion to Judaism in order to believe Jesus as the Messiah. Oh, we got to add to this. We got to put in this religion. We got to put in this tradition. We got to put in this way of Cain. Because the blood of Christ isn't sufficient. For they again turned to Paul. And when they saw Paul, they saw Abel, who by faith believed God. For Paul also by faith believed God, because he proclaimed that the Gentiles could be justified by faith and faith alone. And again, following the example of Cain, they persecuted the righteous Paul, who boasted only in the cross and the blood of Christ for salvation. But you know, it's far better to gain God's approval through faith, through believing his word, even to the point of losing this life, than to reject him and lose your soul. You know, this country and this world are going to go through hard times. And I think all of us, especially those that are younger, perhaps we older folks will not be as touched by this. But the way of Cain is becoming so strong and so powerful that you're going to be challenged to walk that way. But you know, faith reveals to us a city whose builder and maker is God. Faith reveals the reality of God's realm in contrast to the realm of sin and misery in which this world lies. Abel was the first murder victim, but Abel was the first to go to God. You know, we hear so much of the American dream. But if that is what you strive for, your strivings could not be more trivial. For all American dreams shall pass away, and they'll all be forgotten. But I think God introduces us first in Hebrews 11 to the righteous man Abel, who was killed at the hand of his brother, to show us that this life is not where dreams are to be realized. We are not to be people of dreams, but people of hope. Hope that is built upon the solid rock of Christ. For only faith in God's perfect sacrifice of his Son will result in a life that spans from here to a glorious eternity with God. We should learn from Hebrews 11 that the rewards of faith are not necessarily realized in this life. Abel's life was probably short, and he died in faith without receiving the promises, as did all of these listed on the honor roll of God, who, having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. My, how that's needed in the church today, to realize that we're only strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, how many of those Western goers in wagons planted gardens on the way? No, they didn't plant their roots deep because they weren't home yet. But they went across the great expanse of this country in faith, having seen afar off that which they were headed for. And that's what we ought to have in our minds, that we're simply strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and we see these things afar off. And that's what the eyes of faith will do for us. They'll see these things afar off that are so wonderful and so marvelous that they make the things of this earth fade away. Father, we are thankful for this passage of Scripture, and help us, Lord, as a body of believers, to commit our souls to you, Father, as this culture gets more vile and more vile as it goes through time. And Lord, if we don't have faith, we're going to get caught up in it. But help us, Lord, to commit our lives to you in faith, knowing that the light is where we are headed. And we pray that you'd bless us now as we go to our service, bless our pastors, and help us, Lord, to listen, pay attention, to hide the word of God in our hearts, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.